Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
First, I thought that wedding photography is quite boring and awful, and it's also a lot of work. Like, who wants to take pictures at a wedding? Like, I want to go to the wedding and have fun at it. But they were really insisting and kind of said, well, we love your pictures, so how about you just take those kind of pictures as you want, but on our wedding day.
As a video and TV editor, Anne Catherine Cock was used to moving pictures rather than stills, but the thing she loved was telling stories. After some persuasion, she photographed a friend's wedding and now tells stories about two people on one very special day. I'm Matt Bowen, this is Phototypes. Oh my God.
Oh my God. It's Matt freaking Bowen.
We've had a lot of wedding photographers on Phototypes so far, but Anne Catherine Cock, who comes from Germany but now lives in the Midlands in the UK, is one who shoots on film. She loves the colour, the feel, and the way it lasts. She also loves real ale and swearing, as we'll find out now. Hello there, Anne.
Hiya, I'm all right. Thank you for having me on here. Very excited.
It's a pleasure to have you. We're very excited to have you. I know there's a lot of people that will be eager to hear what you've got to say. Let's get started then, and just tell us where you are now physically.
Right, physically right now I'm in my office, which is at home. I work from home most of the week, apart from shooting weddings obviously, and I'm kind of right in the middle of England, more or less. I'm sort of on the border of Worcestershire and Birmingham, and yeah, like you said, originally I'm from Germany, so I haven't been here for that long. I moved here about 5-6 years ago, and before that I lived in Hamburg, Germany, which is up north. I lived in Canada for a while, like an exchange student kind of thing. And yeah, been in England for 5-6 years.
How are you finding England? How do you find it here?
I actually really like it. It's quite funny because every time I go back home to see my parents or friends, there's a few things where I'm like, well, this is actually really nice coming back to Hamburg. But then as soon as I'm there for a few days, I start missing things about England, like pubs and, you know, just like mainly pubs. And just people being, I think people are really nice in England. People are very, very friendly and they like to chat and are just, yeah, it's a good place to live on a daily basis, I think. I quite enjoy it.
Yeah, I read that you are keen on real ale.
Yeah, exactly.
As am I.
That's good. Yeah, that was a new thing for me coming to England, obviously. Like our beer in Germany is much more fizzy and cold. So I quite enjoyed that. Even though, because I'm from the north of Germany, our beer isn't as good as down south in Bavaria. But yeah. I shouldn't probably say that out loud in case anybody from the north of Germany listens.
It's true. what's your favourite beer in the UK, in England?
There's two, actually. There's one, like, locally where I live, there's a brewery. They do Bathams Ale, okay. Which is quite... It's not that strong, but it's well known to get you Bathams Cranium the next day. So luckily for us, or I don't know if it's that lucky, but our local pub serves that beer, so I quite like that. Okay. And there's a brewery up north in the Peak District called Thornbridge Brewery, and they do Jaipur, which is a IPA.
Right.
And I quite like that because it's just, it's a very modern kind of brewery. It's two young guys kind of came up with it a while ago. And it's very, it's nice and flowery and refreshing kind of pale ale sort of thing.
Yeah.
I highly recommend that.
I find the best bit about real ales is sampling them just to see which ones you prefer.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many different ones. You can't really nail it down to one or two.
That's why you just need to try as many as possible, I find.
Right, that's it. Anywhere you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so as you said, you came over from Germany and that's your sort of physical location now is in the UK. But I want to ask you how you got to the moment that you're in now, and that can be, again, your physical moment, but it could also be your sort of, I don't know, spiritual probably isn't the right word, but your working moment, and how you got to be a photographer. What's your story? What's your background?
Sure. So my story kind of starts with, I used to work as a film editor for 10 years as a freelance film editor, and I did mostly music videos, advertising, and a bit of TV as well. So that was something that I started on a bit of a whim, actually. I always really loved films and movies and thought maybe I, you know, can be like a director someday or something, but I had no idea how to do that. So I just started an internship as an editor for some odd reason, and I loved it so much because it's a very like, nobody really knows much about what editors really do. And it's kind of, it's a very nerdy profession in a way. Like, you have to really like it because it's quite intense. And I think I just kind of got stuck into it. So I did it for over 10 years. One thing that I loved about it is that you get to watch a lot of amazing footage that great cameramen take. And you kind of, you judge it and you edit it. And you kind of, you're the one who's deciding how to tell the story, really. And which parts to use to tell the story a certain way. So that was something that I absolutely loved about that job. And I think it really trained me on a aesthetic level as well, like a visual aesthetic level, that you get to see so many different pictures and images on a daily basis. And like, you constantly have to make decisions whether or not this is a good picture, basically. So I think that sort of prepared me quite well for my own photography, which I've always done a bit of photography on the side, but more as a hobby type of thing. And a few years down the line of being an editor, I did a little assisting with an advertising photographer, just because I thought I want to have a look what it's like to be a photographer for a living. And I realized that what he was doing was not what I wanted to do with my photography, namely, what he was doing was kind of fulfilling someone else's creative idea, and which is great if you're into just taking the pictures and doing like the technical bits and all those kind of things. But for me, it was more about creating my own ideas and photographing them and doing that part of the whole experience. So I thought, I kind of decided not to do it as a living because I figured you couldn't probably do what I wanted to do with it and make money with it. And then I think it's just the normal story that a lot of wedding photographers have, that somebody got married who I knew, who saw my pictures, and these were friends of my brother's, and they said, "We love your pictures, would you take some at our wedding?"
Yeah.
And I really was not into that.
Yeah.
Because at first I thought that wedding photography is quite boring and awful, and it's also a lot of work. Like, who wants to take pictures at a wedding? Like, I want to go to the wedding and have fun at it. But they were really insisting and kind of said, "Well, we love your pictures, so how about you just take those kind of pictures as you want, but on our wedding day?" So we kind of struck a deal where we kind of said, "I'll just do whatever I think is best. And then afterwards, if you like it, you'll have it." And to my giant surprise, I really, really enjoyed it. I loved working on the wedding day. Everybody was happy and had like an amazing time. And then afterwards, I got to sit at home and look at pictures and work on pictures, what I love to do anyway. And then I got to hand it off to people who were so happy that they started to cry when they saw the pictures. And that was kind of the absolute anti moment to my normal daily job, where people, you know, advertising executives come into the room and they're just miserable and hating everything. And now people were happy and loving everything. So I thought, this is pretty good. So I kind of went online, had a quick look around, and kind of figured there's actually people doing pretty cool stuff with wedding photography. And yeah, so I thought maybe this is a way of combining my passion for photography and, you know, finding people who like that sort of thing and pay me for it. And that's kind of like how I started out. And due to the fact that I was freelancing at the time already, I was quite lucky that I could start out really slowly with the wedding photography and just kind of do it on the side without having to quit a job or not find the time to do it, because the freelancing was quite irregular and maybe just, you know, 10 days a month or something. So
great story. Like you say, a lot of wedding photographers do have this sort of backstory where there's not a lot of wedding photographers that I know that have trained to be a wedding photographer and then go straight from university or college or whatever into a wedding photographer. They've all got this background and have done something else and then want to try and take that into photography. So yeah, it kind of backs up that theory as well. And you mentioned it a little bit there, so about some of the inspirations that you've got, but is there anything in particular that inspires your work, or a whole lot of things that inspire you now?
Yeah, I would say so. I think, like you'd already hinted at, it's mainly, to me, it's films and movies. Like, I love watching films. And due to the fact that I worked in it for 10 years, sometimes it's a bit hard to switch off. Like, I guess, like musicians who listen to music and kind of hear all the mistakes or anything like that. So I sometimes find myself quite, you know, watching films with a very critical eye.
Yeah.
But what I do take from it and what I find translates really well into photography is things like composition, lighting, storytelling, quite a lot, actually. Like, there's a lot of photographers around these days, wedding photographers, who do like a journalistic approach and say they're storytellers and they're kind of telling the whole story of the day. And I think that comes a lot from watching films or looking at films and kind of, you know, having an opening shot, telling the story from beginning to end, those kind of things. And that's really, I think that's a big part of my inspiration. It's people like, you know, directors like David Fincher or Michel Gondry. It's cameraman like DOP Harris Savides. I don't know if you know him. He did Zodiac, Milk, or Elephant. He does a lot of the David Fincher films, actually. And it's once you start looking out for it, you can tell it's a certain language that certain people have. And it's not just the directors, it's people like the cameramen as well. And I think it's that certain style and voice that people have. And it's not just photographers who have that, obviously. So I find it really interesting to watch films and look at films with that in the back of my head, basically.
Yeah, I don't know if you're like me, but I watch films on my iPad sometimes and I'll screenshot certain compositions.
Right, exactly, yeah. Or colours even, like, yeah. Especially colours. For me, it's a big thing because, like you already mentioned at the beginning, I shoot film mainly.
Yeah.
And part of the reason for that is when I was an editor, it was right in the middle of that transition from film to digital in the moving picture world. And I was able to see the big differences, especially in the beginning, of colours and quality of the image. And it's stuff like that when I watch a film and I realise it's been shot on film that makes me really happy to see, because it does have a different quality of light and depth and all these things. So I quite like, yeah, I do a similar thing, and I would watch films again and again because of how they are shot and what they look like. But it's not just a visual thing, it's stuff that makes me laugh as well. Like, I love TV shows like Arrested Development, The Thick of It, Alan Partridge.
Yeah.
So just like, kind of like everyday humour sort of heightened to a certain degree. That kind of stuff I like as well. And I think that that's something that I try and look for in my photography too. Like, if you see something that has a certain humour to it, that you make a point of photographing that bit.
Excellent. As well as your inspiration then, who's your biggest influence? This could be something completely different. It can be along the same sort of lines, but a lot of people are influenced by, you know, their family members or things that have happened to them personally. I wonder what's your sort of influence on your day-to-day life?
I think when it comes to weddings specifically, it's definitely things like my family. I'm quite close with my family, and because I live in a separate country,
yeah,
it's sometimes a bit harder, so it's making the most out of the times when I do spend time with them. And I think because weddings are such a big family event, I like seeing those kind of connections between families, between people, and making a point of documenting that for them so that they can keep it as a memory in a way. But yeah, and it's, I think I would say that it's an influence on me, like my family in the way that, you know, how I spend time with them, how I was raised and those kind of things, and maybe being apart from them now, at least on a physical level, and therefore kind of, I guess, appreciating it even more when you are together. because a lot of my, I think a lot of my couples are similar in a way that they live in a different country or, you know, at least quite far away from their parents. And the wedding day is like a big thing when people come back together and spend that time together. It's quite special in that way.
And how much, if you can give a percentage, how much percentage is the couple that you're photographing an influence on the way that you will photograph a wedding?
Percentage-wise, it's hard to say. I think it might be, well, it's a difficult question to answer because it's less about, like, the way I photograph is probably always the same because it's me and my way of photographing things. But I think the wedding itself is obviously influenced by the couple, and I'm quite lucky in that I get a certain type of client who has got very strong personal influences on their wedding day. So it's more how it ends up looking, I guess, or, you know, like the things that I actually photograph are based on what the couple is like, yeah. But the way I photograph is usually quite similar because I look for the same things in every wedding, regardless of what the couple is like. But at the same time, I always try and get to know the couple as much as I can beforehand because it is, I think it is important to know what people want to get out of it as well. Some people are more interested in this part, other people are more interested in that part. And I always want to make sure that I understand what they're looking for, actually.
That's fair enough. And what are those things that you do look for when you're shooting a wedding, those specific things that you'll look for at every wedding?
It's mainly emotions, connections between people. It's all about the people that I'm looking for. So again, like family connections or between the couple themselves, between their friends and them, different stages of emotions throughout the day, from being nervous in the morning to being really happy after the ceremony and then maybe quite emotional during the speeches.
Yeah.
It's always trying to see what's happening on an emotional level in between people and then looking for that and concentrating on that and trying to capture it as best as I can.
Okay.
And also, obviously, I mean, on a purely technical level, it's things like the light and, you know, composition, background, those kind of things. But at the foreground, it's definitely the people and the connections between them.
Yeah, that's good that you're driven by those emotions and want to bring those out during the wedding day because it is a very emotional day, isn't it?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, let's turn things back a little bit now to you then. And I want to know what excites you on your day-to-day life, and it doesn't have to be photography based, it can just be what sort of drives you to get out of bed in the morning.
I think what really excites me is anything new and unknown in a way. You know, when you've got something special planned, you wake up in the morning and you realize today is the day where that's going to happen, and it makes you instantly awake, whereas normally you're not that awake when you get up in the morning.
Yeah.
So anything that's kind of fresh and new, like traveling to a place I haven't been to, meeting people I have never met before, doing something I'm doing for the first time. So anything that's kind of, new, fresh, unknown, challenging, those are the things, I think.
On the flip side of that, what things scare you?
I think it's actually exactly the same things, because things that are new and unknown can be really, really scary. So, you know, when you've got, like, the first day at work, it's quite scary to go to a place you haven't been to and see people that you've never seen before. And shooting weddings is usually, like, the first day at work every week, because you haven't been to that place, you haven't met those people before, and you kind of have to do your first day at work on that Saturday. But at the same time, I think because I've learned that the one thing that really drives me forward and gets me to new places is overcoming that kind of fear. So, sure. So recognizing that, like recognizing what scares me and then finding a way of getting over it is probably the number one thing that would, coming back to your first question, that would actually drive me, to be honest. I think it's interconnected. Things that scare you and things that excite you.
Yeah, that's interesting. And do you get nervous before every wedding?
Oh, yeah. I get horribly nervous.
Really?
Every single time. It starts the evening before. Or I just get nervous and then I moan about being, you know, like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if it's going to be good enough. And then on the day, I get really nervous that, you know, you try and eat a big breakfast so that you're set for the day, but you're too nervous to actually eat much. And then the second I pick up the camera and start shooting, I'm good. So that's, I love that bit where you actually switch the camera on and start taking the first picture and suddenly everything is fine and you're kind of, you're right there and you're in your zone and you can just start working away until the day's done. And then you wonder what you were ever nervous about, because it usually works out perfect.
Yeah. Are those nerves because you think that you won't do a good job, or because you are worried that your equipment's going to fail, or a combination of everything?
I think it's mainly the pressure of wanting to do a really good job for the couples, because like we said before, it's such an important day for them and you really don't want to let them down. So it's kind of, because it's all new, it's unknown, you never know what's going to happen on a wedding day. So it's kind of dealing with those uncertainties and at the same time wanting to do the best job you could possibly do for those people. So it's an excitement more than a nervous, like a nervous excitement,
yeah,
in a way, you know, like butterflies, which I think is quite nice to have, because I always feel like as a kid you get really nervous about a lot of things, and then when you grow up there's not that many things left anymore that you get that nervous about. So I quite enjoy it in a weird way.
Okay, we're going to come on to a question now, which I think is going to be quite popular during this series of podcasts. I don't know whether it will get me banned from iTunes or not, but we'll see. We may have to cut this bit out. But what's your favourite swear word? It can be English or German, or it can be both.
Right, I guess it would actually have to be German for me, just because it's, I think the way that we approach swear words is quite different in German. Like, I've never known about that way of, you know, kind of softening up swear words by using non-sweary versions of them, which, right, I think is a very American thing to do, but I think English people do as well. We don't really do that in German. Either we swear or we don't. Like, we don't try and make it sound any less harsh. So I think I kind of miss sometimes swearing in German in a way, because what I really like about swearing is the sound of the word. Like, the harsher or weirder it sounds, the better it feels to say it, right?
Yeah.
Like, so that's what I miss most about it. So I think it has to be words that sound really appropriate for the situation. So, and I guess they're a bit hard to translate, so I don't really know how much sense this makes, but it would be stuff like Kotztüte. Kotztüte is good. Or Ökoschlunze.
I don't want to know the translations, because they sound good enough.
Not to.
They sound good enough to me as swear words anyway. You're going to have to give those to us again, but actually, like, you mean it, like you are swearing at me.
Okay, yeah, like, for example, you'd say, that guy is such a Kotztüte. Or if this woman, she's a real Ökoschlunze.
Right.
Like, it's a bit...
That sounds horrific.
Yeah, it's got a bit more contempt to it, I think, that one.
Yeah, I'm going to adopt that one, I think.
I can write it down for you later so that you know how to.
Yeah, I'm going to get you to do that, and we'll put it on our Facebook page so that everyone else can see it as well, and they can learn how to treat people with disdain in German.
Exactly. It's even harsher in German, I think, even though it's quite flat language.
So when you are, if you do swear to yourself now, or if you swear now, do you actually swear in English?
I think I do. It depends on where I am at the moment. Like, if I'm back home in Germany for a few days and speak German with my parents, then I think I start to think in German again. But these days I think and dream and do most things in English, at least the conscious thoughts.
Yeah.
So it's only when I'm really tired, like if somebody wakes me up, I start shouting at them in German. But other than that, it's mainly English. So swearing is definitely in English.
Who's got the best variety of swear words, German or English?
I think Germans, but that could also be down to me just knowing more of those varied swear words. And with English, it's probably that people need to teach me more. You know, like you've got, like, especially kids have got the best swear words, don't they? Like really weird combination of things. So obviously, because I grew up speaking German, I know more of those in German than I would in English.
Yeah, well,
like the obscure ones.
Yeah, hopefully you're obviously going to listen to the rest of these podcasts, and we're going to ask everybody these questions. So hopefully this can help you learn something about swearing as well as about photography as well. Away from photography, if you could be anything else for a day, and you know you've had quite a varied career as it is, what would you be?
Right, if it's just for a day, I think it would be something. I always wanted to be a doctor. But I didn't really fancy going to university for so long and all those kind of things. So I think if it's just a day, it'd be like a surgeon. That'd be pretty good. Okay. Or a chef. I'd like that as well because I love to cook. And, you know, like all these stupid kitchen shows on TV, it would be really, really cool to be one of those shouty chefs in a big kitchen.
Yeah,
and because it's only for a day, because I realize these are both like high pressure jobs as well. If it's only for a day, I think I could take it.
Yeah, you could be the German Gordon Ramsay and swear at people
exactly,
in German.
Exactly, yeah. I was swearing in German the whole time.
Excellent. Okay, back to photography then. And who, living or dead, would you love to photograph?
Normally I would say, you know, like I love photographing older people because they're more interesting to photograph. But I'm also quite, like, if it's like a big thing, like you got only one chance of ever photographing somebody you normally wouldn't get the chance to do, I think it would be somebody who's really interesting in what they do as a job or in their life. So I think actually maybe what would be really cool would be Angela Merkel. Just
okay.
Because I think she's pretty good, and it would be interesting to photograph her because I don't know if it's probably not been that big a deal over here in England, but when she started out being our chancellor, people were just going on and on about how she's not a pretty woman, which I thought was pretty harsh considering how lots of male politicians look.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So she had like a whole overhaul, and you know, with makeup and hair and clothing, and got like a stylist and all those kind of things. And so I think it would be really interesting to see what she's actually like in real life, and then photographing her in a way that makes sense to me. I think that'd be interesting.
Is Angela Merkel like your Susan Boyle then?
I suppose, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, I guess in a way she is.
She'll be delighted with that comparison. I'm sure they both would be. The idea of this podcast isn't really a technical thing in terms of shooting photographs, in terms of aperture and shutter speed and all that kind of thing. But obviously it's aimed at photographers who want to kind of get inside people that they admire, get inside their brains a little bit more. But if you could give one piece of advice to another photographer listening to this, what would it be?
I think if there's one piece of advice for anyone else, it would be to do the work. Like there's no shortcuts to get anywhere in life, especially with your work. So you just have to. You just have to do it yourself. Like you can't just go and read a book and then suddenly you know everything. Like it just takes time and practice. And also, I guess maybe in a way, like don't get discouraged by that either. Like it does take a lot of time and practice to get anywhere. So
if you look back at the first wedding that you did for those friends of yours, do you cringe or are you proud of that? Or do you see how far you've come?
Mix of both, I'd say. I cringe at some of the photos more, though, the processing, I'd say, because it's been quite a while. But I'm really, like, overall, I'm quite proud of it, because there's still some pictures that I look at them and I'm really happy that I've took them even today. Like, really, really glad I took them, and I would still take the same picture without a doubt. these days. And they still, like, they love my photography still. They're still big fans. So that's, I think that's a good sign.
Just the final question. Who else should I be interviewing in this series of podcasts? Which photographers do you admire?
Oh, if it's other photographers, well, I guess they have to be living, not dead photographers for you to interview them.
That would be helpful.
I got to be honest, I look mainly at non-wedding photographers.
Yeah.
And I guess there'd be two people, one probably a bit harder to get a hold of than the other one. One of them is Gregory Crutzen. I don't know if you know him.
No, I don't.
He's an American photographer. He does these huge elaborate setups. They're kind of like, it's like a whole scene in one picture. Like you see it, it's dark nighttime. You see a house on one end with the lights on and a couple inside fighting. And outside you've got a girl on a swing with like the sprinkler going over her, and it's all done, like, I think it takes about 12 hours to set up these shots, and then he takes one shot and then that's it, sort of thing. So I think he would be really, really interesting because his approach is so different to somebody doing documentary or journalistic kind of photography. Okay. And the other one would be Autumn de Wilde. She's also an American photographer, and she photographs musicians. She does like band photos, goes on tour with them. And she's been around for a long time as well. She did a lot of album work for people like Beck and the Eels and people like that.
Yeah.
So I think she would be really interesting because it seems like she knows everyone in the like Hollywood, LA music scene. And she'd be fascinating to listen to just generally, I think.
Okay, brilliant. Well, I shall go and chase after them too, and I shall mention your name when I speak to them.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you so much to Anne-Catherine Cock for appearing on Phototypes. If you want to see her work, then go to Anne-Catherine Cock, and Cock is spelled KOCH.com. If you're enjoying Phototypes, do please say hello on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, all at PhototypesPod. And you can find me, Matt Bowen, at theretreat.co on Instagram.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.